My talk will be devoted to the wedding at Cana. We are going to study this New Testament event and try to learn some lessons from it. The wedding at Cana is the first miracle of Jesus. John himself tells us in John chapter 2, verse 11, This beginning of his signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. However, I would like to recall what happened just before, to have useful information on the event itself. If we consider on this table, excuse me just for the sound. I have a lesson. If we consider on this table the beginning of each gospel, we see that Matthew and Luke speak of what preceded and immediately followed the birth of Jesus. Mark doesn't talk about it. Then comes the common point of the Gospels, namely the preaching of God of John the Baptist. But in the Gospel of John, we immediately see a major difference. No evocation of the birth of Jesus on earth, but his immediate presentation as a heavenly being, the Word made flesh. And John adds to the name of Word two other names, the life and the light. John chapter 1, verse 4. John, presenting Jesus from the beginning as a heavenly being who has come to earth, he gives him a dimension that the other evangelists do not present. He presents him to the reader with greater respect, greater reverence. Let us now consider the events preceding the wedding at Cana. From verse 19 to verse 34, we have the testimony of John the Baptist, wherein he insists of the greatness of Jesus compared to his own. Then, when the priests and Levites of Jerusalem ask him who he is, John the Baptist replies, he's not the Christ, nor the prophet. So let's read first from verse 28 to verse 31. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I come baptizing with water." These are the verses where John tells us how Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist before the 40 days spent in the desert. It is what we consider as the beginning of Jesus' mission. There is a visible sign that only John the Baptist is able to see in the crowd of those who come to be baptized. The Spirit descends of Jesus like a dove. And therefore, John the Baptist may now testify, "I know he is the Son of God." Let us now read the following verses from 35 to 37. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking on Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. We are therefore the day after the baptism of Jesus, who is still there. And John the Baptist bears witness to him, saying that he is greater than him, that he is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, at the risk of losing his disciples, who would leave him for greater than him. And the disciples do it. We have rarely seen a greater lesson in humility. But let us read on from verses 43 to 51. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and send to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was for Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What strikes me a little in this last story is a succession of meetings and tradesmen as disciples. We see that John highlights the recruitment made by Jesus. There are some like John and Andrew who are disciples of John and who leave him for Jesus on John the Baptist's advice. There are also the ones who introduce Simon Peter to Jesus. On the other hand, it is Jesus who meets Philip directly, who comes to introduce Nathanael to Jesus, who also accepts him as a disciple. Finally, we come to the verses which introduce the wedding feast at Cana in chapter 2. Let's read for the moment just the first verse. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee." Before reading the story of the wedding and commenting on it, did something not strike you in this readings that we did? I'm just going to visualize the beginnings of the different paragraphs that we read. We are in chapter 1. Our first reading begins with verse 28. "These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him." Our second reading in verse 35 begins with, "Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples." Our third reading in verse 43 begins with, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip." Finally, our last reading in chapter 2 begins with, "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee." Yes, John, in his gospel, curiously gives us the day-by-day chronology of the beginning of Jesus' ministry up to the wedding at Cana. This precision in the account of the facts ends at the wedding at Cana. This precision in the description of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus is not the result of chance, because John is perhaps trying to make us discover something. But before looking for an explanation, let's see the story of the wedding itself. So let's read the account of the wedding at Cana from verse 1 to 12. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciple to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he said to you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast." And they bore it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not from where it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning does not force good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Cana is in Galilee, about 15 miles from Capernaum, the city where Jesus had taken up residence. So he and his disciples go to a wedding, something joyful. Here is a picture, a photo from a current wedding. You see, we rejoice, we drink, we dance. Well, the text available of the marriages of this time, of the time of Jesus, say the same thing. For my part, I am sure that Jesus laughed, sang as was a custom, and he danced as was a custom well illustrated by the film Jesus of Nazareth by Zeffirelli, which we see here a picture. And a wedding didn't last a Saturday night like today, but 7 days. 7 days of banquet and rejoicing. Those of us who have ever had a wedding in a hall, who have tried to plan the amount of food and drink, know that it is not easy to aim just between not being in lack and not to waste. And there it was for 7 days. One more note on the governor of the feast or wedding planning. There was usually a wedding planner, because the groom had to get a full taste of the event, you can imagine. This attendant had all the work. He was the one who went to fetch the bride. He was the one who shouted, "Here is the bridegroom," when he arrived, so that everyone would do honor him. He praised the guests at the tables. He was the one who commanded the waiters and waitresses. In short, he organized everything and made sure that everything went well. Only, and this is important, it was the bridegroom who paid for everything, including the wine. But here, what should not happen at Cana. The wine runs out. What day of the wedding week are we on? It's not specified, but probably not the first. Who detects the thing? Neither the bridegroom nor the wedding planner. It is the waiters who serve at the table. And Mary hears that. She comes spontaneously to Jesus to tell him they have no more wine. Mary simply says to the servants, do what he tells you. It's his mother. She probably feels that Jesus is going to do something. Knowing look between them, like on this picture, and Jesus is going to do something great. Wine he will make from water, and not just a little, since he has 6 vases filled with water, which was already in itself an important job for the servants, since each represented from 6 to 9 gallons, so in total almost 52 gallons. According to the tradition of the ancients, to purify oneself from pagans, it was necessary to wash oneself up to the elbow in running water, or if there was none, in 13 gallons of water. So that's the role of these vases. So the servants fill these vessels. They fill them to the brim. Another detail that John gives us. And there, this water turns into wine. Jesus, respecting the politeness of the organization of the wedding, sends to taste it to the wedding planner first. But who knows first that the water has been changed into wine? Neither the bridegroom nor even the wedding planner. No, they are the servants. And John, there again, insists on this detail by saying, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not from where it was, But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. So remember that the poorest or the of the party see this miracle first. And when the wedding planner tastes the wine, finds it excellent, and authorizes it to be served, he says to the bridegroom that he has done the opposite of what it's usually done, to serve the good wine first and then the less good one. But the bridegroom does not understand. And that good wine is better than what could be produced, because it's a miracle of Jesus. It was his first miracle, and it is said that he manifested his glory there. You can imagine the joy of the newlyweds, the guests, the governor of the feast, the disciples, and his mother Mary. And his disciples, John tells us, believed in him. That is the account of the first miracle which triumphantly inaugurated the mission of Jesus. But I think we can now try to take a step back and try to place this event in a broader context by asking ourselves the question, wouldn't the wedding at Cana represent something grander than this first miracle of Jesus? You remember that John detailed the chronology of the early days of the Lord's mission in a way that it's not usual in the New Testament. If therefore we put the beginning of the ministry in the form of a table, we see the following sequence. First day in Bethabara, testimony of John the Baptist. Second day, still in Bethabara, John the Baptist meets Jesus. Third day, at the lake, recruitment of John, Andrew, and Simon. Fourth day in Galilee, recruitment of Philip and Nathanael. Fifth and sixth day, nothing written. And the seventh day in Cana, wedding. It is thus a complete week, 7 days, which constitute in John the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Don't count on me looking for symbolism every day this week. I would simply say that John, as we noticed at the beginning, immediately presents our Lord as the Word and the Light by whom everything was created during the 7 days of the creation. Is this not already a very beautiful illustration of the word of our Lord during this week of creation, to which John on the seventh day makes correspond in his apotheosis, the work of creation? And this end, after the creation, after the coming of Jesus on earth, after the recruitment of many disciples, is it not the happy, joyful moment, a moment of celebration where the reconciliation of God with man will take place? I will therefore, in this illustration, just consider this seventh day, that of the wedding in Cana. And this magnificent miracle will illustrate a certain number of things to us. Remember that John gave us a detail that may seem trivial, but he specifies that the 6 stone vessels were used for the purification of the Jews. We have seen that by immersing their elbows in water, they thought they were purified. Besides that, it was a matter of tradition of the ancients. Besides that, the number 6 symbolized for some human imperfection compared to the number 7, we know that the water from the stone vessels of the Jews never brought purification from sin. On the other hand, the wine that the Lord has promised us to consume at the wedding feast of the Lamb takes on a whole new dimension. I quote Matthew 26, verse 29, "But I say to you, I will not drink from now on of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." But John also tells us that the vessels of water changed into wine have been filled to the brim. This wine, therefore, overflowed as soon as a jug was dipped in it to serve it. This symbolizes magnificently the blessings that will be poured out on the disciples of Christ at this wedding. "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over," Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 38. And let us also notice that, unlike in the desert, when Jesus refuses to perform a miracle to feed himself, here he performs a miracle, but for the happiness of others. Miracles for the happiness of others he performed throughout his mission, and much more important than that of Cana. He healed, nourished, and resuscitated. But the miracle of Cana on the seventh day of his mission, whether that symbolizes the seventh day of creation, or the seventh millennium since the creation of man and his sin, in any case, illustrates to us in a magnificent way the goodness of our Lord, that he will manifest himself to all in the age to come. And who will accept the most easily the future time? Are those the greats of this world? At Cana, it was the servants who saw the first that the water was changed into wine, not the wedding planner, and even less the bridegroom. If Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 25, "I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes," well, it will be those who have simply accepted Jesus as their Savior who will appreciate the abundant blessings that he will pour out on mankind. These are some souls inspired by this first miracle of Jesus. But this is only a personal reflection, and I think and I hope that it will inspire you alone or in meetings, other lessons on the deep love of Jesus for his creature. I must say that this wedding at Cana is a story full of freshness, full of gaiety and generosity. It looked like a happy introduction to the ministry of Jesus, which scandalized no one. The rest, as we know, was going to be more and more difficult until the death of our Lord at Golgotha. But John, who presents Jesus as the Word and the Light from the beginning of his Gospel, shows him to us here in a setting where the Word fully illustrates his role as Creator by this extraordinary miracle of transformation of water into wine. And this miracle of the light begins to enlighten men on the goodness of God, which will manifest itself in the future after the wedding feast of the Lamb. We believe that the future is near, so let us make every effort to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen.